What is Veganuary? You may have heard about it. I've heard about it, but I know absolutely nothing about it. But hopefully, to tell us more, I welcome into the studio now Rachel. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Good, fantastic. I take it from all of this, you are a vegan yourself.
I am, yes.
And how long have you been a vegan?
I've been vegan for 10 years, but I've been vegetarian for 30.
So, I know there is a difference, but what is the difference between being a vegan and a vegetarian?
The main difference is that a vegetarian won't eat meat, fish or chicken, but a vegan also excludes dairy and eggs. So it's a plant-based diet. In addition to that, vegans also would exclude the use of any animal products, including leather, and eating animal products such as gelatin, which are found in many sort of pre-made foods.
I imagine this can make life quite difficult at times.
You certainly have to put a bit more planning into it in terms of making sure that you're aware of what it is that you are eating, but it's actually really easy, and it's never been easier than it is today.
Well, I know that vegetarianism has been around. Is that a word?
Yes.
It has been around for a long time. How long has veganism been around?
It's been around forever in different forms and in certain religions and cultures. Officially, the term vegan was coined by Donald Watson in the UK. Actually, it was born here in 1944.
Oh, wow.
But it has been around forever in different forms.
That's longer than I thought then.
Yeah.
So, Veganuary, I've heard about it, but what is it all about?
So, Veganuary is an initiative for January, and it's a challenge that people can embrace to try out vegan food for a whole month and to see how easy it is and how much they can enjoy it. It's a charity-based initiative, and during that time, a lot of vegan businesses and organisations get active about providing more and more support to people who want to give it a go.
Now, a question has just popped into my head here. January, we've just had Christmas and everything. That C word again. A lot of people, including myself, are probably wanting to lose weight. Now, would this be a good way for me to try out a vegan diet and lose weight as well?
Some people do choose to try out vegan to lose weight. I think the most important thing for any diet is to have a healthy, balanced diet. Mm-hmm. So for me, that wouldn't be something that I would say as a primary focus for it. But obviously, if you are not eating some things that you used to, then you probably would lose weight as a result of that. But it's important on a sustainable basis that you have a balanced diet.
And how about eating out? I mean, restaurants nowadays, do they cater for vegans?
More and more. It's fantastic now, the options that are available. Almost all restaurants will cater for vegans. There are very few that don't. Mm-hmm. Particularly since the allergen information has been required by restaurants, that's made a massive difference because it's a lot easier for people like me to look on the menus and see it easily. But almost all of the main high street chains now have vegan meals clearly marked on the menu, and you can always ask for additional information too.
Yeah, because I've seen in a lot of places they do have gluten-free things now.
Yes.
So, But what about children? Okay, it's okay for us adults, but what about children? They need different types of nutrients, say calcium and such, for example, for daily growth and development. Is this a good diet for children?
It's something, I think if it's a well-planned diet, regardless of whether it's meat or vegan, it's important that it's really well-planned and healthy for children. Obviously, there is no reason why a child couldn't be incredibly healthily brought up on a vegan diet. My own child is being brought up on a vegan diet, but it is important that all children are given the right nutrients and, like you say, calcium and protein, so you need to make sure that they get the right sources. But if a child was on a meat diet and they weren't being given a range of fruits and vegetables, etc., then that wouldn't be any more healthy than any other diet. So making sure that they have a range of different things is important, and calcium's a little bit of a myth with milk. There's other calcium sources, green leafy vegetables, for example, that are absolutely fantastic and much better for the body to be able to absorb.
I guess it's that saying, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
So you just, like you say, you just have to make sure you balance it out right. But NHS England, they suggest that if a child is on a vegan diet, that to give them vitamins. But is this the right way to go?
from a personal perspective, I think taking a multivitamin is a sensible thing for everybody to do, regardless of what diet you're on, just to make sure that you've got a good baseline of the vitamins and minerals that we need. But it's also the NHS advice that any child over the age of 6 months should be given a vitamin D supplement in any case, because we don't get enough sunshine anyway here in the UK.
Yes.
So again, I think often, certainly in my case, that a lot of people who are on a vegan diet pay a lot more attention to their own diet and therefore their children's than perhaps people would ordinarily, because we're much more aware of food. So yes, I would suggest everyone had a multivitamin.
So it's not just about food. What about prescription drugs as well? A lot of these are tested on animals. How would you get around that?
With something like prescription drugs, the Vegan Society use the definition coined by the original founder to say that veganism is about doing it as far as possible and practicable. So if somebody needs to take drugs which may or may not have been tested on animals, but in order to be able to be healthy in themselves, then that is a personal choice. And most people who are vegan would consider that a reasonable thing to do in order to maintain their health. However, when there are things that are tested on animals which are more of a choice or cosmetic, for example, then a vegan would exclude those. So we wouldn't use household products or hair dyes or makeup, etc., that have been tested on animals. But the Vegan Society itself does say that things that are required medicinally on prescription would be acceptable if that's what somebody wants to do.
Okay, yeah, I just wonder, because it must be very difficult, especially if you need something from your doctor, say antibiotics or something, and you think, no, wait a minute, no, can I take this? But like you say, there are ways around it.
Yeah, one of the things that's that is often an issue, and certainly for me personally, is if I have had something on prescription and it comes in a gelatin capsule, from a personal perspective, I won't take the gelatin capsule. I would either swap it into a vegetable-based capsule, because that's not something I want to consume, or just take it out of the capsule altogether. It's very difficult to tell which drugs have or haven't been tested, and we don't live in a vegan world. We drive on roads that contain animal products. We use mobile phones that that contain products. Even our £5 and £10 notes, as we know, contain tallow, which is an animal product. So until we live in a vegan world, it's difficult to be truly 100% in every aspect.
Do you see that coming? Do you think that will be something that will happen eventually?
I dream of the world that is that is vegan. I dream of a future where we look back and we wonder, how on earth did we think it was okay to eat animals?
I guess that's just one of the ways of the world. But
yeah.
Sussex and Surrey's 103.4.
And talking to Rachel, we're talking about veganism. Now, we've talked about Veganuary, and Rachel, we were just having a chat about children and how to influence what they're eating. Now, my son, as I just said, he's decided just recently that he doesn't want to have meat. And I'm thinking, well, if he's not going to have meat, he needs to have something else to substitute that. And we were just talking about, we take our children to the farm and we say, right, here's chickens, here's cows, here's sheep. And then the next thing, you know, they've got this meat on their plate and they're like, well, where's this come from? What's that come from? I mean, it must be quite confusing sometimes.
And I think from what I've seen and what I understand of this, a lot of people and children don't understand that the meat on their plate is the same as those animals in the field. And often it's when people make the connection between the two that they begin to question whether that's something that they want to participate in. And certainly from my perspective, I was brought up eating meat by my parents, although my mum was vegetarian and still is and has been now vegetarian for about 60 years. She brought us up because she thought that was the right thing to do, to give us meat. And when I was 12, I made the connection between meat and the animals, and I couldn't eat it again, knowing that was what was on my dinner plate.
That's it. If it's your decision, I don't like the ones where families, they bring their children up and they kind of force them into a certain diet. You will do this. But I guess, as I say to a lot, you know, it's each to their own. But what happens with school dinners? Because I know they do vegetarian options, but at the moment I don't think they do a vegan option. So I guess with that, you would take in your own packed lunch.
Not necessarily. A lot of schools, and indeed nurseries, my little one's in a nursery at the moment, they're very accommodating. relating to it. Veganism is actually a protected belief under the Human Rights Act as well. So there is some legal status to those people who want to make sure that their children are appropriately provided, provided for. But a lot of schools now are embracing making sure there are vegan options, because there are a whole host of benefits to veganism, not just to individual health, but to the world as a whole, in terms of environmental damage that's caused by animal agriculture, the impact of water and the, you know, environmentally wider. So therefore, a lot of organisations are actually recognising the benefits of making sure there are vegan alternatives on the menus.
That is interesting to know, actually. I know my son's school have a vegetarian option for their meals, but I'll have to talk to them about vegan and see if, I guess, if they do vegetarian, they must do vegan as well.
And certainly creating the demand, I think, is great as well. There are some programmes I'm involved in at the moment in terms of helping to promote vegan meals within schools as well, because like you say, people are brought up in certain cultures and ways that their families have been used to, so therefore it's important that we can create those new demands and change those cycles going in the future, so that people do have the choices available to them. They're not just restricted to what was available yesterday, and there are great food is great food, whether it's vegan or not, and so there's lots of fantastic food that is vegan that everyone can enjoy. And a great thing about putting it on a menu, whether it's a school or in a restaurant, is that, you know, whether you choose to be full-time vegan, part-time or not at all, you can still enjoy those foods and try new flavours and tastes.
Well, I must admit, I said earlier, I like my veg, I'm good with my veg, other than mushrooms. I do not like mushrooms. But I'm not very good, I'm terrible, I don't eat much fruit. But you were saying that that isn't as important.
I think the most important thing is to get a range of it, a range of vegetables. Green leafy vegetables are fantastic in terms of health. Fruit is great to have as part of a diet, but it does contain a lot of natural sugar and often a lot of water. So yes, there are certain things like bananas are very good because they contain a lot of potassium and the vitamin C in oranges, etc. But there's a lot of water and sugar in fruit, so actually if you overboard on the fruit and do less on the vegetables, that's not necessarily such a good thing for a balanced diet either. But there's lots of fantastic things that you can do with vegetables that are quite surprising as well, which can make them more and more tasty. I'm up for the challenge if you want to challenge me.
Oh, okay, cool. Sounds like like you say, I guess it's just getting that right balance. Now, we talked about food in restaurants. What about travelling? Because some countries aren't as open to veganism as we are. How does that work?
I personally travel a lot. I've travelled all over the world, and last year particularly I did a lot of travel to different countries. My experience, it varies enormously between country to country. Some countries are fantastic. Many are way ahead of the UK in terms of what they can offer. I was recently out in Iceland, for example. They had plant milks available in every tiny little cafe that we went to, and supermarkets. They had lots of vegan alternatives available to be able to make, which was quite surprising to me. New Zealand, again, it was a standard that there was at least one or two plant-based milks in every food outlet that there was. Germany, surprisingly, because they've got a very heavy meat intake, that would be our traditional view, are fantastic at vegan options and the range of foods that are available. There are some countries that we go to where language can be a barrier and it can make it very difficult to be certain that everything you have is vegan friendly. I would just say in those cases, do your best and be sensible about, you know, about the choices that you're making. But I would also say that a lot of those countries, you need to be careful if you're a meat eater in terms of how that meat might have been prepared anyway. So I've always been very grateful that I've been vegetarian or vegan traveling to places that I've never come back with food poisoning.
You know, I guess it's like anything, do your research.
Yeah, absolutely.
And finally, you've got a website you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so I've been working on a website, and I've called it Loved and Enough, because I think that everybody is loved and everybody is enough. And on that, I'm creating a vegan community, but not just for vegans, but for people who want to eat more vegan or plant-based food, and it's a very positive environment. So all I focus on is great food. I give recipe ideas. I blog about food. I blog a lot actually about travel and different places that I've been to, and what kind of experiences I've had, but also various things that might be interesting to people who are new to veganism or just want to give different aspects of it a try. I'm very welcoming to people who just want to eat some vegan meals rather than you know, fully converting. So everyone is welcome, and there's a lot of information there that I would welcome people to come and have a look at, and also let me know if there's things out that we could be putting on there that would be helpful for people to understand more about it.
So anyone who's maybe interested in a new vegan recipe that they haven't got, or even if they just want to find out more about it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's at www.lovedandenough.com.
I will definitely be giving it a look.
Thank you.
No worries. Well, Rachel, thank you for taking time to come to speak to us this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Rachel, who's a vegan, talking about Veganuary, and of course her website, do look it up. I'm looking for some new recipes, and not necessarily meat based either. This is Susie Radio. I'm Tess Lucy.